Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for July 9th. It's brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me here at Seibu Dome is Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy?
I'm well, Mr. Gibson. How are you? Thank you for coming all the way out here to the wilderness of central Saitama.
Actually, 30 minutes, man. 30 minutes.
Southern Saitama, to be honest, just across the border from Tokyo.
Yeah, it wasn't that far. Good to be here.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a great game out here on Sunday.
We did, as Chris Carter called it, a barn burner, a seesaw game. We brought them all out.
Wow, if you could hit with all those cliches.
He's got them all. Anyway, so yeah, Chris had a big two-run single, and the Lions come from behind win here today against the surging Rockton Golden Eagles.
The gutty little Eagles.
They were on the little side today.
Well, they had five runs, and they hit a home run, so they were doing all right.
They were on the little side of the score line. That was the problem.
Yeah. All right, well, this week we've got an interview with Brian Wolf of the Nippon Ham Fighters, and we're going to talk about the pennant races and hit a couple other topics. So let's start clearing the bases.
Wow, an interview with Brian Wolf. Okay. that's some pretty highfalutin words for me just shooting the breeze.
Where did I hear that? Didn't you say the same thing last week?
Okay.
The breeze. What exactly do you aim at when you're shooting the breeze?
Aim. When do I aim for anything?
I don't know. Maybe that's a problem.
Okay. Humor. Humor is his lowest form. Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, we spoke to Brian Wolf a number of things, and he's had a fairly successful career. He lost. He got as a consolation prize for people who come on our show. He got lit up pretty good today.
Thank you very much for playing. We have some lovely party gifts for you at the table.
Like 16-ton weight, boom.
Boom.
So yeah. He fell to 21-19 in his third season with the Nippon Ham Fighters. And Wolfie's been good. And, yeah, he touches on, well, we touch on a variety of subjects, some of which I've sort of been repeating week after week, asking all our guests the same questions until they throw up their hands in frustration and run away.
Well, at least you go prepared.
It's easier when you only
just prepare once.
Yeah. When you only got three questions, it's pretty easy. So anyway, so we touch on a couple of subjects. So let's hear what Mr. Wolf's got to say.
This last week, sort of the theme with a lot of people I've been talking about is how they've adapted to playing Japanese baseball. And particularly a couple people who, had a little experience in the majors. Some people had a lot of experience in the majors in coming here and making more than the adjustments to the game, the adjustments to the cultural part of the game. What you're expected to do as a teammate, what you're expected to do in practice, being told everything to do like you're a four-year-old or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that I learned in the first year over here is just you need to interact with the players. You can't just do your own thing. You got to interact with them. They're more than happy to go eat dinner with you and talk. And, I think that was the best thing I did my first year, to interact with a lot of players.
Somebody tell you that was the thing to do?
A little bit, but, just the way I am, a more social person. So
okay.
Being over here, I wasn't going to be able to just keep to myself like a lot of guys. Wanted to interact.
If you're not that way, it's really easy to go the other way.
Exactly.
Sometimes it can be really self-destructive.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, who is it? My friend of mine, a Giants fan. I haven't talked to him recently, but Ryan Vogelsong was telling a reporter in San Francisco that getting used to guys who can foul off 10 pitches in a bat was really taught him a lot how to pitch.
It does. You got a lot of those little guys in the league here just foul off and trying to walk, and it gets frustrating on the mound because you just keep throwing strike after strike and trying not to walk when they're trying to walk. So it's a big change. Sometimes we're not used to throwing that many pitches in an inning, and
right,
we're throwing that many pitches to one hitter and trying to regroup after that. It's testing.
Yeah, I've actually one foreign pitcher. I remember had one of those guys, and when he hit a little grounder to first base, when he went to cover, he just bowled him over. Took out a lot of his aggression on him.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Now, this year, compared to the last, this year the pitching has been, it's like Darvish wasn't even here before. It's like the same old situation. Fighters are pitching well, and
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of that has to do with the Yoshier pitching coach. He's real hands-on with everybody. And, you know, the way that our bullpen is, it's easier for us starters. You know, we give them 5, 6, 7 innings, and, you know, we can turn it over our bullpen. We've been lights out for 3 years now. So it's a lot easier than, you know, some, like Cebu here, they have issues at the end of the game. And they keep changing stuff. We have kind of kept the same guys, same four guys, which helps us out.
Right. And Takeda was, I guess he was out a little bit this year. I saw him coming back.
Yeah, you know, he had a little bit of a knee problem. Okay, so.
Yeah, I can't think how many times I've written a story that says, Yoshikawa threw 5 innings and 3 fighters relievers held whoever they were playing down to 1 hit over the last 3 innings.
I mean, it's been that way for 3 years. It's amazing. It's, look at Mini, Ishii, Masui, and Takeda. Those 3 guys, they got their 7, 8, 9.
Right.
Just got to bridge it to that.
Right. And it seems like every year there's one other guy knocking on the door to get into that group.
Yeah. I mean, Moriuchi's done well this year, and, you know, he's got a lot of 6-inning, 7th-inning guys.
Let me ask about the Fighters' defense, because I think a lot of the success of the pitching staff comes from the fact that the guys just catch the balls.
They do, you know. It's, you know, it hurts us a lot when Max out, like he's been a couple times this year. But, you know, we got guys that have filled in pretty well. But, you know, having Mac and Kinski up the middle, 2 veteran guys, and they'll play against guys outside a lot.
Yeah. So that's one thing. I think that when people talk about Darvish leaving, I think that was one thing that I thought, well, you know, they got the bullpen and they got the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a heck of an offense, although it's hard to tell that at Sapporo Dome because the runs are low there. But it can't be, you know, it's not that big of a jump to see you guys doing well.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see us doing well. I think last year we were pretty much in the same situation coming out into the play where we were pitching real well. You know, now we start playing these same teams over and over again for the rest of the year, and that's when numbers start changing a little more, I think.
Okay, is that your strong suit against the Pacific League teams more than the...
I mean, Interleague, it's been good to me. I can't complain.
Okay. Yeah, last year I think you did really well in Interleague.
This year I did real well, last year I did real well. So, I mean, it's just, you know, they don't see you as much, and you're new to them every time you play.
So you guys kind of light up. You can mark that got that date on your calendar, your first Interleague start.
See, I think a lot of people do. I mean, you know, I was talking with Sledge earlier this year, and he said the same thing. When they were hitters, they always look forward to Interleague to face us, and, you know, because we knew, you know, pitchers in our division, they feel like they attack more. Hitter like Sledge is more accustomed to is getting pitched too.
I think one of the things that a lot of the hitters and I have talked about is that, especially the foreign hitters, more than the Japanese hitters, is that the interleague is a lot more viable for guys who see the ball hit the ball.
Yeah.
Because it's not, because the whole coaching input, predict what pitch is going to come, it's just not as value. It's just not as viable when you're only going to see the guy once or twice.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, Darvish and those guys that have played here for years, they have more reputation against the other guys. But, you know, I've faced most of those teams once, maybe twice, so they're still really not keen on what's going on.
Right. And the other thing is the opposite side of that is the batters here are so used to getting all that input.
Yeah.
They sort of, you know, they look like little, like, baby birds, and they're throwing stuff in the data down their mouths. Anyway, another question I wanted to ask you was, what are the players in the Pacific League that you think, if you see a guy and you think, oh, that guy could really play in the major leagues?
I mean, I think we got more on our team than I've seen in the most of the league. I mean, you know, you got Itoi and Kinsuke. You know, Inaba probably in his prime would have been a great candidate.
Yeah, his odd because he came to the Fighters after he failed to get a major league contract.
Exactly.
They wanted to give him a camp invite and said no thank you.
So, I mean, just looking at those two guys in particular, you know, they got Nakajima here. And,
right.
I mean, there's talent that can definitely go. It's just whether they want to try to make the jump or not.
Yeah, Kensuke's kind of a different... I don't know him personally. He sort of shies away from being spoken to.
Yeah, he's...
So I wonder how well that'll translate in the majors. A lot of guys like that have trouble. A lot of Japanese guys like that have had a little trouble.
Yeah, I think, you know, but he interacts with us players. So
okay.
Foreign players, so it's not a big deal. I mean, he speaks a fair amount of English.
Okay.
He gets along. I just think he shies away from the spotlight media as much as he possibly can.
Could be. He's got such a solid, I mean, all I can think of him is compact and solid. He's not...
Nothing extra.
Yeah. Nothing flashy, just gets on base like crazy, and he fields all the balls that come to him. And...
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time,
and good luck.
Thank you.
Cheers.
All right. Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much, buddy. We appreciate it.
Sorry for the bad luck today.
He knows it wasn't your fault. It has nothing to do with us.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see if he becomes the next Michael Nakamura or Tuffy Rhodes and says, Jimmy Allen, let me get away from that fella.
Well, like you said, he's got pretty good numbers during his career here, but he hasn't been a dominant pitcher.
No, you know, he just...
He's durable. He's solid.
Yeah. He doesn't walk guys. He doesn't strike guys out. He doesn't walk guys. And, you know, he puts gets balls in play. And when you play for the Nippon Ham Fighters and you don't give up, you don't put the ball in the air too much when you're away from home and you let the ball in play, those guys are going to gobble them up and make a winner out of you.
Right. So I found it interesting that he, because every time I've gone to the park, I haven't really had a chance to talk with him. Either I was talking with other players or didn't have time. And he didn't seem like such a sociable guy. So I found it interesting that he said that he likes to interact with the teammates and that he started doing that from year one.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the lesson here, oddly enough, we had the interview with Gail Hopkins a few months ago, the former Hiroshima Carp hero and doctor and PhD. And he said the best advice that he ever got for Japanese baseball was to not try to be a good teammate, not try to be a good teammate. That's putting it the wrong way. He said, don't try to fit in and do like the Japanese players, which is not what Brian Wolf was talking about. But I think what you have to do is, the moral to the story is, you know, don't do A or don't do B. It's be yourself and take what works for you and fit it as best as you can into Japan. If it means being sociable, fine. If it means being apart and being focused on what you do, do that. If this is your strike zone, worry about your strike zone. You can't worry about that other stuff.
Yeah, I remember Gail saying, hey, you came here to play ball. Concentrate on the ball and get the job done. And I was really glad to hear that he's involved in getting to know his teammates and working with them, not just here to make the money and get home. And then he talked about the fact that it's very frustrating because of all the slap hitters here. And that really kind of stuck with me because and you see a lot of the import pitchers here struggle with the batter's ability to foul off good pitches.
Well, that's, I didn't hear the Vogel song comment, but what I did, I was speaking, calling a friend in the States, John Copeland, shout out. I was calling him on his birthday, and he said, you know, Vogel song told the San Francisco media that being in Japan made him a better pitcher, and I was thinking, what, when he was on the farm team? Every time I spoke to Ryan when he was here, he was just coming back from the farm team. You know,
he was a frustrated man.
He bounced up and down. You know, I think they just gave him. They probably didn't give him actually a commuter's pass to get to the ballpark. They probably, you know, just.
They gave him commuter tickets.
Yeah, they gave him the kaisuken, a little kaisuken, you know, that he could use when he was coming to the park, and he had a kaisuken to go to the farm club, because it's like they never seemed to have a plan for him. But obviously, what's worked, it worked for him, and he did learn stuff. And you do have to learn how to deal with batters who don't respond the way you're programmed to them responding.
Right. I mean, you throw fastballs, you expect guys to go after them, even if they're out of the strike zone, even if they're just off the plate. And a lot of guys here, they take a long look at them. Mm-hmm. And if they're close enough, they'll swing. And if they like the location, they'll swing for a hit. And if they don't, they try to get the bat on the ball. And it can be really frustrating. I saw Jorge Sosa dealing with that today with the Yokohama Bay Stars, but he actually ended up giving up a hit to the batter. I think it was Aranami in the 10th inning, but he got out of the inning without keeping his perfect ERA intact.
Okay.
The other thing, I know it's a mental test for those guys, but he's doing a good job.
Well, I think the advantage that Wolfie has in this case is that he isn't a big strikeout pitcher. And he struck out 90 guys in last season. He struck out 90 guys in 150 innings, but so he's not, you know, you can so easily get out being in Japan. You can so easily get away from what works for you because so many things are different, and you you know, and the and rule number one is always find the way to get back to what you've done before. It may not look the same, but somehow the core skills are going to be the same. So anyway, yeah, so that was that's a challenge for a lot of hitters. We've seen it, a lot of pitchers. We've seen it over and over and over again.
Another thing he did was credit pitching coach Masato Yoshii, and I like that. I peeked at Yoshii's blog a couple of years ago, and he's funny. He writes in the colloquial Kansai language. We're having issues with bugs here, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. But
yeah, gotta debug my computer.
Literally, don't forget the legs and the wings. I like what he does with the pitchers. When I sat down to talk to Yoshii earlier this year about Yuki Saito, he kind of shook his head a little bit, but then he kind of winked at times when we were talking because they have programs for those guys that they want them to execute, you know, exercise-wise and prepare their bodies for the games. And I just like the way he goes about things, and he credited him, and I would credit him a lot as well. Hmm. I like the entire staff.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think the thing that with the fighters, and it goes back, again, back to the organization, is that, you know, they're set up, they have a plan, and they have a pitching plan, they have a plan for the roster, they have a plan for who's going to be fielding, you know, who's going to be catching the balls and who's going to be hitting the balls and who's going to be throwing the balls and what they're going to try to execute. So, you know, losing, although, you know, they do some things that look like they're really going out on a limb, but it always seems to be that they know what they're doing. You know, they gave up Darvish and let him post him, and they said, you know, pocketed the cash and said, okay, who's next?
Right. Well, they hit a bad stretch this week. They didn't do so well this week. But, yeah, last week it was SoftBank that had gone through a really bad patch. And, you know, it'll be somebody else next week. It just happens.
I think SoftBank's is more than a bad patch. That was like a disconnect. disconnection.
I'll get to the disconnect later on in the show, hopefully. But
disconnection of service, I think that was.
Now, Wolfie also talked about the bullpen, which he gives a lot of credit to. But I'm sorry, I'm not on that boat. And I like the guys. I like.
What boat are you on, John?
Well, not that bullpen's boat. I tell you that. I think that's it could be something that might sink. I don't know. I like shutdown guys.
Yes, I know. You're one of okay.
I'm selfish that way.
No, you like the guys who have the big stuff. I mean, you like the guys who have great stuff, great move, and, you know, guys who you don't think anybody's going to get a hit off. I like the guys who just win.
Yeah.
I don't really care if he looks good doing it or not. I could care less.
All right.
But, you know, get the job done. Fine with me.
I'm fine.
Cheaper.
And they do. The
shutdown guys are too expensive anyway. Waste your money.
Guys like Miyanishi, he's got good numbers, really good numbers this year. Mm-hmm. Masui, Tanimoto, Inui, Moriuchi. All those guys are really good, but, you know, in playoff situations, when you get to the postseason, do you really trust them with all your money? I mean, I don't. I mean,
well, again, this is John's pet. This is John's hang-up. So.
What money, says Jim? First of all, let's start there, right?
No, I'm not making financial accusations or casting aspersions because, one, I can't lift an aspersion. Way too heavy. But, no, I'm just saying that's just John, you know, that's where you know, John's theory is that you want these scary guys for the postseason. And, again, you know, it's a theory.
It's not that I want scary guys,
sure,
and it's not that.
We talk about it all the time.
Because I don't want guys making good contact, because guys making good contact can lead to guys not catching the ball, and that's that. And you know, you might walk a pitcher walks somebody, the next batter hits the ball hard in a gap somewhere. You're talking about a run, and that can be the, you know, in this environment. This season, although runs seem to be up now.
Yeah.
Runs seem to be way up now. In this environment, you know, that one run, again, when we get to the postseason, that's going to be the difference between winning and losing. So that's what I like. I like guys who don't allow, you know, people to get on base, and if they do, the next guy up is shaking in his boots because he doesn't have the confidence. And confidence, a lot of times, is half the battle.
Yeah.
That's all I want. That's all I want.
Yeah. But, you like to talk about scary.
Yeah, I like intimidation.
Intimidation, but...
I'm from the ghetto.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, it works. I mean, it's not... It doesn't always work.
Right, but on the other hand, getting away from the ghetto for a second, in some place I'm a little more familiar with.
out in the burbs.
or whatever. The whole point is that these guys are all professionals. You know, it's not the, you know, sharks preying on the plankton here. It's, these guys are all professionals,
right.
And they see this every day, all year. And, you know, you just got to get over it. And I don't think, I think our perspective's a little different. And again, I'll just have to keep going and saying, you know, the guy gets results. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me whether he's scary or whether you think I, you know, we used to have a wonderful, an editor at the Daily Yomiuri who loved to rant about Nobuyuki Hoshino because he had a fastball that was about 120 kilometers per hour. His curve was about 90 kilometers per hour. He said, I could hit this. My kid could hit this. The only problem was nobody could hit him.
Yeah, I know.
And
it was frustrating to watch.
Yeah, but it was frustrating to listen to Jim Nishi say how everybody should be able to hit this guy. Well, nobody could. And these guys were pros and they couldn't hit him.
Yep.
And, you know,
I'm not arguing with the results.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not. I think in the regular season, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's a different animal in the playoffs.
I don't. I disagree.
And the level of concentration is higher.
Yeah, that's your theory.
Yeah, that's my theory, and I'm sticking with it. But I like
you.
The bullpen. I like the bullpen, and you know, while they're having a bad stretch here, and even though I didn't pick them to finish in the playoffs, it looks like they have a really good shot.
Yeah, they have that little trouble keeping up with Lotte this week, but that's, you know, as you said, that's a cyclical thing. And before we get too cyclical on this one subject, we have major leaguers in Japan. And we did. I did ask Brian about the major leaguers, and you know, it wasn't any big surprise. Kensuke Tanaka. Now, this was part of the interesting thing because Kensuke Tanaka is kind of tight-lipped with the media. He doesn't ever seem to crack a smile. I don't think I've ever seen him smile.
You mean in a non-game situation? Because I've seen him smile on the field when he does something.
Oh, have you? Okay. I think I must have been flipping channels when I saw when that happened. You think he'd be kind of loose, everything, his little pink batting gloves, when the, you know, back in the day when the fighters used to be color-coordinated.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But now he's just business-like. And he says he's a different kind of teammate. I you know, we'll see. But, you know, I don't know. I don't have a big... a big image of him as a major leaguer. It doesn't seem to mesh with my theory.
Right. And he mentioned a guy who, Yoshio Itoi, one of the guys I have a man crush on, we know. And
do we have to talk about that again?
Well, no, we don't.
Okay, good.
And I really like him, and he's having a, you know, he's hitting 300, he's driving in some runs, but I talked to a scout during the week,
mm-hmm.
And I told him, I actually asked a similar question to the scout I saw on. And he said the same thing, which was that it's a soft 300. I mean, he's not making a lot of noise. He's not hitting for power per se. He's not driving in that many runs. He's not winning games with his hits. He's just kind of out there getting a hit to keep his average at 300. He could be so much more. And I want to see some fire lit under this kid. I want to see some more passion because I think he does have major league talent. And we've talked about it. I've talked about it a lot. Defensively, he's great. He's got speed. He can hit for power. He can hit for average. But he's just disappearing with a 300 average, and I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, it has been a bad year for him. So the lights
just
went out at Cebu Dome.
But we're all right. We're all right. Okay. The power's still on.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, it has been. He's basically become a singles hitter this year. I mean, he's got two home runs, or at least he had two home runs coming in today, and 13 doubles, which is about a little low for him. For a guy with his speed, yeah, that's a little low. So, yeah, he has been a singles hitter. It has not been a good year. He's got the 402 on base percent. On the other hand, he's got 47 walks and less than 300 at-bats. So.
Yeah, it's just soft. I mean,
well,
yeah, he's getting on base. He's not making outs in those situations, but I want to see more from him. He's got more talent than that.
Yeah, and he's got, you know, he's got a lot of other things going for him, so he could certainly play. I don't think it, you know, I don't know what the deal is this year. I don't know if it's a special, specific issue. I haven't really spoken with him this year, but could he play? On the other hand, he's 30, it's close. Wait, hold on. He's going to be 31 in a couple of weeks. So, yeah.
Okay.
And he got a late start to his career, so he's not going anywhere in a hurry. So could he play in the major leagues? Yeah, sure. He's got enough talent to do it. He's got the plate, the strike zone coverage to do that.
Okay. All right. Did you want to mention any of the other guys?
Well, he said Nakajima, which was kind of interesting. Nakajima's put on a show this. We're going to talk about Nakajima in a moment.
Yeah.
And that doesn't surprise me. I think he can play in the majors as well.
No doubt.
Right. Oddly and interestingly enough, talked to Akinori Iwamura today.
Mm-hmm.
And he hit his first home run in 6 years
six
in Japan
years, yeah.
yesterday.
Yeah, his first since coming back. And
right, he's grown his hair out. It was cut real short last year, and it was cut real short this spring when he was hurt. And he's grown his hair out. I'm going to start calling him Samson, because when we used to bash all those home runs at Jingu Stadium, he had a kind of a long hair, and
mm-hmm.
just kind of got the old look going on. And he said that he was hampered. I mean, hampered more than just by his calf injury, which has bothered him for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that playing in Japan, he felt such high expectations playing in Japan that it's easy to get to your head. He says, you know, you feel that you should do more and you should be able to do more because you're coming back as a former major leaguer, and it's easy to think too much. I said, did you think too much? He says, oh, yeah, way too much.
Well, I wrote in my blog, I said, after their win in the second game of that series against the Lions, I said, this is kind of what the team envisioned when it brought in Seiichi Hoshino to be the skipper and brought back Kazuo Matsui to be the shortstop, and Iwamura. These are the guys, you know, they were all producing in that game, but mm-hmm. you got to get more than one game out of them producing, and you have to get obviously the kind of pitching that they're getting, despite the fact that Tanaka's not out there, Makun's not out there every turn for them. So, but they're still getting production. They're in third place. They're doing well. So,
yeah.
Which brings us to the Pacific League race. Now, we just want to touch on it real quick.
Okay.
I don't want to go into too much detail, but I do like what the Eagles are doing.
Sure.
But I'm starting to look at the Marines with a different eye now, because at the beginning of the season, yeah, well, I mean, and it comes from their top three starters. Naruse seems to be the guy we remember 4 years ago. Seth Greisinger is pitching well every time out. He's giving quality starts. And Yuki Kadokawa, who Bobby Valentine absolutely loved.
Everybody loves him. He's like a little Cupid doll.
Well,
you never see. He's the opposite. He's Kensuke Tanaka's evil twin.
He's
you know,
a pretty big Cupid doll.
It's Kensuke Tanaka's opposite. Kensuke
he's not
Tanaka
the evil
never.
Twin. He's the angel twin.
I guess. Okay. Well, I mean, this is no disrespect for Kensuke Tanaka, who I think is a marvelous player, and
terrific
Harakawa,
player,
who's a marvelous pitcher. But Kensuke Tanaka, you got a prize. You probably could charge people money, you know, like at a carnival show. Priya Tanaka, pry a smile out of Kensuke Tanaka.
Don't do it, don't. Throw the ball, make him smile.
Karakawa, I think he was born smiling, and he's still smiling.
Yeah, well, those two guys are leading the league in wins, Naruse and Karakawa, and Katsuya Kakunaka.
What an amazing player.
And Shunichi Nemoto. These guys, I mean, they've come into their own, and you know, I'm starting to get really mad respect for Kakunaka. I saw an at-bat the other day where, you know, they were trying to get him to swing at off-speed pitches out of the zone, and they kept throwing fastballs just off the plate, and he would foul some off, or he took a couple, you know, for strikes. But he wouldn't swing at the off-speed stuff out of the zone, and then they had to throw a fastball in the zone, and he whacked it for a hit. So, I mean, he's really impressing me. He's not just, you know, a guy whose name I keep writing on the blog because he happens to get the game-winning hit. He's really he's getting hits that matter, and he's making a big impact on the league and on the team right now. And, again, Nomoto is doing the same thing. In fact, he had a very similar at-bat where they kept pounding him and trying to get him to swing at some pitches inside off the plate, and then they left the fastball just on the inside part of the plate, and he whacked a four home run. And these guys are playing well, so I mean, you have to start looking at the Marines as well. I guess I have to start looking at the Marines because I've been waiting for them to fall off the cliff here, and they're not. It doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Right, they were a team a lot like the Yakult Swallows were a year ago, in the sense that they weren't particularly good at preventing runs, and they weren't particularly good at scoring runs, but they still managed to be in first place this time of the year, and it was sort of like a smoke and mirrors kind of thing with the Swallows. But
I think the Marines have a lot less power than the Swallows had at the time that they were winning. I mean, they're doing it with just guys with average. They're not hitting the ball over the fence very often.
Whatever. I mean, do I care whether they have power? Not only care if they score runs.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
it doesn't matter whether you score runs with power or you score runs with that. Well, it does matter. Actually, this is one area where the playoffs are different, whether you score runs with power or with hits. That there's a logic
it's
to that
to
as opposed to
hits, yeah.
As opposed to some other theories about the postseason play. The Marines, that was not
that was
a shotgun. I took out the
smack.
Rifle. I got the rifle with the narrow bore and the high-powered scope.
Well, what about the fighters? I think they have
Hold on, hold on. So we're still talking about the Marines.
Okay,
now the Marines, the thing with them is that was the case, and with the Swallows it was the case last year, and it was the Swallows like, are they going to get better? And they just didn't look like they had the gas. And the Marines didn't look like they had the gas a month ago. But everybody's coming out and performing for the Marines right now. And it's Kakunaka. And Kakunaka shouldn't have taken anybody by surprise. This guy, he took me by surprise for the reason that the last couple of years I haven't spent the time that I used to spend combing mm-hmm. through minor league numbers.
Right.
And I looked, you know, what's Kakunaka done? I remember when Valentine first brought him up before the start of the start of the 2008 season, and he said, I'm going to have a new third baseman because Imai was hurt. And he wouldn't tell me who it was, so I had to look through the minor league records.
Right,
and, here's this guy who's a 300-something hitter, 380 on-base percentage guy in the minors. And I thought, oh, Kakunaka. And then he kind of didn't do much that year, and he didn't kind of do much the next year. All he did was go back to the minors and keep hitting 300 and keep getting on base like 400-something. So this guy shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Those are the kind of hitters who succeed at this level, who make the adjustments and do well. So he's not a surprise. Nemoto, same thing. Nemoto was that same kind of hitter in the minors. He was that same kind of hitter when he had a chance to play at the big level. And he was all poised to be, he was going to be the Marines' second baseman in 2009 until the front office intervened and brought in Iguchi. And then Nimoto's career basically got put on a shelf for a couple of years.
He was on hold, and I remember when he came up, but he didn't do very much, and he wasn't impressive. And it's a lot different from what both of them are doing now. They're very patient at the plate. It's not before they were trying to make something happen. I remember Heiuchi, too, when he came up and had a good spell, and Bobby said, whatever he didn't have before, he found it now. And I'm like, yeah. Well, for a week or two.
Heiuchi's a fielder. I mean, he's a glove guy.
But it was the same situation. They came up, they produced a little bit, but they didn't seem like they had staying power. And now these guys seem to have put it together. And like I said, the key ingredient for them, it seems, is their patience at the plate.
Well, I think there's a number of things. One is they've been through the ringer a little bit. They've had to struggle with the adjustments. They've had to struggle with I was talking to Ryo Hijirisawa today of the Eagles.
You got it, yes.
And he said that, you know, we talked about that fear of getting sent back to the minors if you fail at the first team level.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Hijirisawa had that before Marty Brown just came to him and said, oh, the job's yours. Don't worry about failing.
Right.
And it took him a long time for him to turn her. Even in those circumstances, it took him a long time. But he did sort of, you know, he said, at one point, I reached the stage where I thought, okay, if I go, I'm going to have to go for it to succeed. And if I go for it, I'm going to fail. And if I fail, what's the worst thing that can happen? I can end up in the minors, and then I just come back again. So, he learned to deal. The biggest adjustment from the second team to the first team is lots of small technical adjustments. You have to get used to pitchers with this and that and being in different roles and whatnot. But the biggest real adjustment is dealing with that fear of failure. because especially in Japan, where if you bomb in the Eastern League, they're not going to send you to Siberia because you're in Siberia.
Right. Well, okay, moving it along, though. I mean, yeah, I like their staying power. I'm looking at the fighters. I think they do have staying power. I'd like to see a little bit more out of certain guys. Hopefully, we don't know about Sledge and
Keppel.
I think those guys are gone for the season, so that changes the outlook for them. And Nakata has to produce a little bit more consistently, but Inaba's back, and we'll see how they do. Also, the Hawks, they don't have the dominant pitching. They don't have those three guys at the top of the rotation who, you know, strike the fear of death in the people, but they do have Setsu. He's really good. Arakaki's been pitching well enough for them. Iwasaki came back the other day after being banished to the bullpen. He pitched well in his start.
Yep.
I think they have enough pitching, and they're going to have run production. I still like them for the playoffs. So that leaves the Eagles as the odd team out. If I decide that I'm sticking with my picks.
We'll see it all. listen now, because John is
deciding. I'm not jumping ship.
Listen to John now, because he is deciding the future. He's the one who's going to decide who's going to be in the playoffs and not.
That's not what I'm trying to predict. I'm just playing the game.
Okay, you play your game.
How about the Central League?
I'm sorry. You just played the Pacific League. I was gonna add something about the Eagles,
which is
that they've got a lot of. They've got a surprising amount of young talent for a team that a year ago seemed like the cupboard was bare in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
They're really pumping out a lot of minor league talent. A lot of the guys who've been marginal, fringe guys at the top level have relaxed. Now, I think something I talked about last year, I think part of this is the fact that the Eagles are no longer the saviors of the Tohoku area.
Yeah,
the pressure of winning a championship like Oryx did in 1995 is lifted, and now they can go back to being themselves. And they've got some young players I really like. And Hoshino, Senichi Hoshino today said, I said, you know, you got a lot of guys are just like popping out of the minor leagues one after the other. He says, and I'm going to use them one after the other. I'm just going to throw these guys into the game.
That's so good to hear. That is really good to hear.
And then, of course, they don't do well. You can smack them upside the head.
Or they can line them up and throw balls at them, like the Carp people do. But, I mean, that's good to hear that they're going to get a chance. I mean, a lot of times they don't even get the opportunity. So
So
let's move along so that we can get through without going over here this time. The Central League, the Giants found their way in the first place, and you wonder why it took so long. But they're there now, and I think they're gonna stay. Although the Dragons, you know, they didn't beat them head-to-head, but they keep beating other teams, and they have this club record 14-game home winning streak, whatever it means. If it matters or not, who knows?
Well, it does matter because they can't win on the road.
Because they're not winning on the road, they might as well do that. But they're barely winning. They're still creeping by teams. Today was a one-run game. The other day was a one-run game. They're not beating people up, but they are beating people. They're going to stay. I like them for second place. I like the Swallows for third, and I like the way things are shaping up. The Carp taking
over. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Well, the Carp, yeah. Do you like the Swallows for third because you're not on the Tigers bandwagon anymore?
Oh, I got off of that. Was it a wagon or was it a bike?
I think it was a unicycle. Jojima was riding it.
Jojima was carrying it. He was too injured to ride it. But
he's coming back, actually. I tell you, he was hitting off a tee or something such yesterday.
Did the tee hit him back?
No.
It would have been better.
No, he was feeling like he doesn't go with a strong tee. So he's Tigers are really in a mess. Which is you hate to see, because I like Yutaka Wada a lot, but they're in a bad situation and things don't appear to be getting any better. The Carp, yes, are an interesting team, and they seem to be gelling.
Well, I would like to see them make a push. It would be nice. I like their pitching as well. I like Bollington pitched well. Yesterday, Nomura pitched great today.
Otake's
been pitching fantastic.
Kenta Maeda's been pitching fantastic.
Those are four quality pitchers. Every time they go into a series, you really got to concern yourself with how you're going to score runs. I like what they could potentially do. And if they hit the ball, I mean, Dobayashi is really going off.
Yeah.
And, boy, they have two guys who really look like they can be Rookie of the Year. Maybe even share the award. But
Iwamoto?
Nomura and Dobayashi. But like to see him do well, but we got to move on.
We got to move on
to the great debate that Jim decided he was going to come up with a topic this week. And why don't you introduce this topic?
Can we call it the not so great debate? Call it the monthly debate? Okay. Well, anyway, on Friday the Pacific and Central League announced their MVPs. Their monthly award winners or their honor roll or their, handed out their brownie points or whatever it is they do.
Uh-huh.
And although there's money with it, I think they get 1 million yen or something.
They probably do.
For doing that.
Yeah.
And the winners were Masahiro Tanaka of the Eagles was the PL Pitcher of the Month, and Hiroyuki Nakajima was the PL Player of the Month.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Central League, it was Shinosuke Abe.
No surprise. So to speak.
Well, no.
And the pitcher?
And the pitcher was Kenta Maeda, who went 4-0 with an ERA lower as...
I thought he was 3-0.
No, he was 4-0, I think.
I thought he won three games.
He was 4-0, and then the one game he didn't win was a 1-1 tie in which he pitched 8 innings and allowed one run.
Okay.
And... and they had to. Kanotake won 4 games as well for the Cards. It was a good year for those two big guys.
A good month.
Rotation. Good month for the. It seemed like a year because they won 8 games. So anyway.
We got to get a sound.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum. All right.
Anyway, so I'm reading the story and the two interesting parts of that story are the two position players. Now, Pitcher of the Month is one weird. First of all, they gave it to a reliever last month, which always makes my hair stand on end, what little is left of it.
Wow.
But and then he did what relief pitchers do. The day he won, he was announced as the award winner. He blew a three-run save opportunity, I think.
Thank you very much. Pick me again.
Exactly. And anyway, what got me to thinking, as I have done now and then, what's up with the position player of the year's award? Position player of the month award, and why don't they just call it the hitter of the month award?
Yes.
I mean, and I think this is sort of a cheap shot leading into my my next rant, which is okay. Shinosuke Abe won his fourth career Player of the Month award. Now, this is a guy
at 33, right?
Yeah. At 33, and he's been the dominant catcher in the Central League for the last, let's say, the last 7 or 8 years.
Easily.
Tanishige has given him a good run for his money. He's had some months where he's hit like King Kong,
mm-hmm.
And he's an outstanding defensive catcher. But Abe pretty much does it all, and he's a tremendous. And he is one of the best hitters in the Central League right now. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Nope.
And on top of that, he's a good catcher. I mean, he's a heck of a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
And he's durable as all heck. So he's won 4, and he not only has he won 4, which seems absurdly small considering Masahiro Tanaka won his 7th or 8th. I'm going to say 7th. He tied a Pacific League record with his 7th MVP, and this guy's barely out of his diapers.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, he won his 4th Position Player of the Month award, and he tied the record for all catchers. And that was held by Atsuya Furuta, who is probably...
Former Swallows
catcher, who was next to Katsuya Nomura, the greatest catcher who ever... one of the greatest catchers who ever played baseball, and certainly the two of the greatest players who ever played baseball in Japan.
Yep.
So he won 4 monthly MVPs, and the guy played for 15 years and had 2,000-plus hits after he came out of the corporate leagues and college and whatnot, and which begs the question, why are these guys not winning the awards, and why did Hiroyuki Nakajima, who's a 3-time best 9 shortstop for the Lions and a Golden Glove winner, although he's won 2 of them, why did it take him 12 years to win his first award? And the answer is obvious to me, because if you're a shortstop, or you're a catcher, or you're a Golden Glove guy who has value, defensive value, you're not going to win Player of the Month because They only care about how many runs you drive in.
Yeah, well, when you brought that up, I started thinking. I can't speak for the era of Nomura because I don't really. I can only remember, Sadahara Oh. I can remember Nagashima playing during that time, and then after that, I'm not as up on the older generation. Mm. But as far as when Furuta was playing, I thought of the guys he was going up against on a monthly basis. And, he played in the era with guys like Hiromitsu Ochiai. He played with Hideki Matsui in the era, Akira Eto, Alonzo Powell, a three-time batting champion, one of his own, or a couple of his own teammates, right? Atsunori Inaba and Roberto Pettigini.
Sure.
He's not going to out-hit those guys.
He did. On occasion, he will.
On occasion, he won a batting title. Didn't he win two MVPs? Furuta won two MVPs. 93 and 97 is what I remember.
Could have, yep.
And he led the league, I think, in batting in 93, but he didn't lead in any other category. Mm. And you got to put those numbers up to get those awards. Now,
right.
I agree with you that it's going to be hitter, but I don't think he's going to out-hit those guys consistently. He's not. He's steady. He's consistent. He's probably going to bat, maybe if he bats 300 for a season, he's going to bat, three-something every month.
Yeah, but we're also talking about a guy who was essentially a cleanup hitter.
Yep.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a guy who's a cleanup hitter who's got the pop, who'll...
He's got some pop.
He's got 70, 80 walks a year. He's going to score a zillion runs. He's going to drive in runs. And he's a guy who's, for Furuta, an outstanding defensive catcher year after year after year. And the fact that, and again, the point is you're not going to out-hit those guys, right? Because A, you're a catcher and you got other things to deal with. And B, you're going to get hurt because you're a catcher, which happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, if you take the number of guys, the pool of guys who can play catcher and hit at this level at all, is a very small pool.
Yeah.
I
think he led the league in hitting in 91.
Okay, so that's about right.
Yeah.
But the point being, you're not going to out-hit them. And the answer is yes, if the award is given on who's the best hitter, then he can't win the award because he's not going to be the best hitter very often. If the award is based on who's the best player, he's way head and shoulders above a DH who's going to get more at bats and who only has to hit.
Yeah,
who does nothing on defense.
I agree with you.
Right.
I agree with you. But I mean, look at the way they choose the MVP. They just look at who has the most home runs, RBIs, and batting average. And if that's what they call it, a monthly MVP, it's just a sub award of this overall MVP. If you figure if you win it more times than anybody else, you should get the MVP award. Hopefully your team finishes.
provided
your
team
finishes on top in your league, theoretically,
yeah.
You can win the award.
If it was really a monthly MVP, they'd only give it to people whose teams had the best record that month.
That's true too. And then actually, these guys are coming off pretty good months, both teams, but. I looked at his numbers and he's never going to get recognized like this for his batting prowess,
right?
Unfortunately, and like you said, like you discussed on the show last year, catchers inherently, because of the position they play, they have more impact on the defense than anybody else,
mm-hmm.
Any of the other position players. So if you look at his contributions behind the plate and combine that with the contributions at the plate,
right?
Yeah, certainly, Abe is going to be the guy. But
well, that was the argument for Abe for MVP. That was my voice in the wind for Abe last year for MVP.
But what I wanted to look up when I got this assignment, I decided to look at Coco, Ballantyne, and I noticed that he had something that I really like, which is I like to call them. This is a John stat. It's called quality RBIs. And my quality RBIs are RBIs that put your team in the lead or win games, end up being game-winning RBIs. Now, these come...
No, hold on. A game-winning RBI, by definition, is one that
gives your team the lead. But, I mean, the ones that he had where he... Okay, so I'm being redundant is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying because sometimes people would say, for example, the Swallows win 5-4. Or 5-3, and he was the one who drove in run number four.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just asking about
okay,
the definitions.
Okay, so, yeah, what I mean is a guy who, like I said, maybe puts you in the lead with an RBI mm-hmm. or a hit or wins the game with an RBI. Mm-hmm. And I looked up Coco's numbers, and he had, June 13th, he won a game with a three-run homer in the ninth. Mm. On June 17th, he won a game with a three-run homer in the ninth. On June 22nd, he won a game with two RBIs against the Giants. In the next day, he put the team up 3-0 with a first inning, three-run homer. And then on June 29th, he hit a three-run shot when the team was down 5-0 to Hanshin, and they eventually came back. Mm. And so I like what he did. His production helped them win games.
Yep. Well, production is always going to help you win games.
Well, when you have production like that, yeah. But, I mean, not always, because you can have these
that's
games
true.
when you're losing 6-0 and you get a three-run home run in the ninth inning and make the score
yeah,
look
that's
decent at the end.
Agreed.
And so he didn't have a lot. I mean, he did have one of those kinds of home runs, but
he ate a couple of extras after he'd already hit two home runs and decided the game. He had a third home run the other day.
He really just went off. And so Abe, he had RBIs in 11 of 20 games that he played in June, which is maybe he spread them out a little bit more. Mm. So they were pretty comparable. I couldn't argue either way. They probably could have gone co-MVPs.
I think so. Yeah, I'm thinking so too. In fact, I think what I did the other day was to run I set up a database file to examine what every player in NPB did last month. And basically I came out, because I was certain that Valentin should have been the MVP, and I think they added him late to the group of candidates. They sort of added him as an afterthought. He didn't get a lot of playing time in June, and because he came back from his suspension at the beginning of the month. There's, his being deactivated because he wasn't hitting and talking too much on Twitter.
Twittiotic.
That's right. So he didn't get a lot of time, and on the other hand, you have a solid outstanding catcher against an outfielder. I can't lift that aspersion that high. So, but his defense is what it is. He's got a good arm, but he's not going to be confused with Ichiro Suzuki. Okay.
Never, never, never.
Not even if you mispronounce Niva. So anyway, So I thought, okay, that's fair enough. I did like that. Now, I'm certainly yes. Every event in a game is incidental to whether your team wins or loses. And if you can go back and measure him, you can say he won a game. Well, yeah, he had a to give you more credit for what you said, I would say rather than he won a game, he was the one who had the big play of the game.
Certainly, that's what the common
right, that's the common. Exactly. Fair enough. But he had the pivotal play. He had the biggest single contribution offensively in those games.
Well, I wouldn't even say that. I would just say it was the gaudiest because it became
gaudiest.
Because it came at the pivotal time in the game. But I think every at bat's important.
Sure. Because if you make an out anyway, so there's a whole lots of things that go into them. We've talked about that before. But yeah, okay, yeah, he was a good candidate. I thought, okay, Abe is too, but again, in that respect, he was, but he was passed over. I think he was passed over because he wasn't on anybody's radar screen until the last couple of days, and then it was too late to add it. So
now, what about Nakajima? You
okay, Nakajima, I think, is the same thing because he's basically a good shortstop. So even, again, it's hard for him to keep up with people whose only job, again, this is the same thing as for a catcher. If you're working on, if you need guys to play shortstop, there's a very small pool. It's harder to find somebody who's a hitter. If your talent pool is 10 times smaller than the number of people who can play first base or DH, it's hard to keep up with, to be as good as those guys. Mm-hmm. But Nakajima is pretty comparable. But because he can play shortstop, he has extra value. Now, the interesting thing about Nakajima is, when I ran the database, there was a character playing shortstop most of last month for the Rock 10 Golden Eagles, who had very similar numbers, but not quite the playing time Nakajima has. And that's,
right.
That's
Kazuo.
No. Oddly enough.
Uh-huh.
His name is Shintaro Masuda.
Eh?
He was playing shortstop.
Eh?
Last month, yes. He was playing a bunch for the Eagles, and he had numbers very similar to Nakajima's. In fact, his numbers were a little better than Nakajima's. Never even heard of this guy. He wasn't on the ballot. And, yeah. Well, I wasn't. His situation was comparable to Coco's, but he didn't have the impact that Coco had. But this is a guy who had a heck of a month. He's been red hot. He's been playing well all year. He's bounced around. He's not really a good shortstop, but he's played a lot at shortstop. He's played at first base. He's played everywhere.
I know that Matsui only played in 12 games, so he must have played the other 8?
He played a bunch of times and the rest of the games when Matsui didn't play the whole game.
So. Yeah, okay.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so I didn't even know you could play shortstop. I thought he was an outfielder.
Well, I've seen him, and, you know, I was wondering, because when I went through the numbers, I'm like, oh, Matsui only played in 12 games, mm-hmm. and he hit in 11 of the 12 games that he played in, but his team played 20, he only played 12. So, you know, I knew, and I watched some of the games, I knew he wasn't out there, so unbelievable. All right, well, if you can call up the numbers and see how many games he played in, I don't think
it was
that many.
Well, this season, Masuda's, most of his games have been at shortstop, 22 games at short this season.
So what about last month?
He's used as a DH and all over the place. So he's kind of a utility everyman. He started all through Interleague. He finished Interleague as a shortstop.
Okay.
Starting and playing almost every day.
Yeah.
Jose Fernandez said he's got some defensive flaws, but the couple of guys I talked to said say this guy is just an amazing hitter. He turned 25 today.
Yeah.
This is a guy that he's been around for a few years. He's not like, but he's just snuck up on everybody.
Yeah, he's been really productive lately, and he's been one of the reasons that Eagles have been winning. So, we'll watch for July. We'll see who gets the fireworks for July. Maybe Coco can keep it up, and he can be the next. He can be the hitter,
or maybe
the top
people
hitter.
Will start listening to us and get a player who plays defense and who can hit.
All right, one last thing I wanted to touch on is someone wrote on my blog about the uniforms that the green uniforms that the SoftBank Hawks have been wearing since this past Monday. And all I can tell you is I asked people and looked it up. They're called VV Green. They're supposed to be replica uniforms from some old Nankai Hawks uniforms. I don't know.
But they don't look anything like the old Nankai Hawks uniforms.
All I know is that I wrote on the blog, looked like a Kermit the Frog convention.
Wow.
Had broken out in Tokyo Dome on the field and in the stands since they passed them out to a bunch of the employees who came and helped them get a record number of people for a home game. And they were much worse than the Bay Stars blue, all blue uniforms. And
The retro socks and all that?
Yeah, and it got me thinking about those terrible Tigers uniforms where there was all black and hot, and Matt Merton and I think Craig Bizzell played them and said they were going to melt. They thought they were going to melt. It was so hot. So hopefully all the fashion faux pas will stop maybe after the All-Star break. Who knows?
Wow.
But they got to get rid of those green things. Down with the VV green.
Well, they had the victory blue a couple of years ago.
That was the Dragons.
No, we're talking about the Hawks. They had these baby blue, powder blue uniforms. It was called Victory Blue, except they could never win when they wore them.
Yeah, searching for victory in blue.
Wow.
All right, a reminder, you can send us your comments or questions via MP3 file so we can play them on the show. If you have an IC recorder, go ahead and record it and ship it on over to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we'll play it on the show and address your comment or question.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening.
From Cebu Dome, this is Jim and John saying enjoy your baseball and see you next week.
Somebody turn the lights on so we can get out of here.
Help! Help!